another colorful radio drama for your entertainment. Brought to you from the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company by the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. A few weeks ago, sports fans throughout the country sat or stood around the nearest loudspeaker and listened to the play-by-play description of the World Series between the New York Giants and the Washington Senators. But the interest displayed by the sports world generally in the 1933 baseball classic couldn't compare with the wild excitement that prevailed whenever the first women's professional baseball team made its appearance. This famous women's team, billed as the Nine Striking Beauties, scored many a hit, both on and off the diamond, and was a big box office feature wherever it played. The American Theater of Radio takes pleasure in presenting at this time a dramatic version of the experiences of the Nine Striking Beauties, based on a similar story in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. It's nearly time for the exhibition game to start. Grandstands are packed with curious, eager, expectant fans. Town band, resplendent in his flashing red and blue and gold uniforms, is bravely rendering a number against the discouraging competition of the vast crowd. While the home team is doing a little batting and fielding practice, the lady professional ball players, dressed in their natty blue and white striped uniforms, short skirts over their athletic bloomers, are filtering through the grandstand selling scorecards of the game and pictures of themselves. We're right near two of them now. Listen.
The last dance before the game starts, boys. Get the official scorecard of all the names of the players.
Telephone number two, cutie.
Fly one and see, wise guy.
Autograph pictures of the team. Get a picture of your favorite.
And have the wife find it.
How are you doing, Flo?
Not too good, Millie. All the guys in this town must be married.
If they are, it only goes to show you can't account for some people's taste.
Ain't it the truth?
Radio with the uniform. Watch out you don't pull a bloomer this afternoon.
Pipe down, punk. This is a ball game, not a sideshow.
I guess we picked the wrong side of the field. Laura and Claire seem to be doing well over at the band.
Yeah, well, I'll work the band in the next town.
And the ball team, too?
If I can find time.
Being two to both is quite a feat here.
Not for me, Millie.
Hey, Joey, come on in.
Say, Glossy, look, I'd like one of those.
Now, wait a minute. Don't go robbing the cradle.
What do you mean?
Two kids over there yelling at her. This is their big day. Bet them their first long pass. Why, ain't you ashamed, Mel?
Oh, I didn't even see them. I was looking at that swell hat that blonde dame's got on.
Gee, it is chic, ain't it, though? I like her sparklers better. Hey, I wonder how many years I'll have to stock the old pill before I can flash a handful of rocks like them.
Quite some time yet if the rest of the circuit blacks this town. That big hat, Mel. Say, I wonder if I couldn't get me a feather somewhere.
Hey, what have we here? A coffee clutter of ball games.
Oh, why, well, Mr. Hawkins,
well,
I didn't think.
How many pictures did you sell?
Only four. They seem to have their pockets all pinned up.
Well, all right. I'll work your way down from the bench. It's almost time to start the game.
Okay, Mr. Hawkins.
Now, I'll round up the other girls. Better start warming up, Flo.
Well, I guess I'm going to start things today.
Why today? Don't you usually?
You're feeling pretty smart, aren't you, Mel?
Well, maybe it's the change in climate.
Or the effect of that dinner last night.
Wasn't that? That certainly was some blowout. Hawkins sure opened up for once. It made quite an impression on the natives, too. Look at the crowd.
Ain't it the truth, Siri? Hey, Millie, some nice boys we're playing today. Especially the captain. Now there's a man.
Yeah, but you're not his type.
I suppose you are.
Right down his ass.
Oh, yeah? Well, he didn't give you much of a play last night at dinner.
He's going to regret that, too.
I don't like the look in your eye, kid. What you going to do, spike him?
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of? Either spike a guy or you don't.
Flo, you remember what we did to that big shot in Memphis last week?
Do I? Say, we took him like Grant took Waterloo.
Well, I've heard that history repeats itself.
And you and me are the best little repeaters in history.
You'll help me give him the work?
With me in the pitcher's box and you at first. Say, that Bush League is going to see a brand of baseball like he's never seen before.
Hey, cutie, how about a little personal attention over here?
Sorry, big boy, we gotta go.
Say, I can't take my eyes off of that hat, Flo. I've never seen such a beautiful long summer. If I didn't have my uniform on, I'd ask the dame to let me try it on.
Oh, never mind the hat. Come on, Bill.
But I've always wanted a hat like that.
Got it all fixed up with the manager, and I don't think we've got anything to worry about, girls. Oh, there you are, you two. It's about time.
I couldn't make it any faster, Mr. Hawkins. Sorry, Mr. Hawkins.
All right, but don't let it happen again. When I issue orders, I expect them to be obeyed.
Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of managers would thank you. Bill Hawkins ain't a hard guy to get along with. You can treat him right.
Thanks, Mr. Hawkins.
Well, now, Flo, you start the game.
Okay.
Babe, you catch.
Yep.
Good here tells me she's got a Charlie horse. Now, girls, this team's no tougher than some of the others we've played, and I fixed it up so we'll be one run ahead at the end of the eighth inning. After that, everything will be on the level. Everybody all set?
Okay, Mr. Hawkins.
All right.
So, how's your arm, Flo?
Getting hot.
Good. Now, take it easy. And hold all your stuff for the ninth inning. Everything is fixed up to there.
Okay, boss. I got you.
Well, are you all ready, Mr. Hawkins?
Yep. All ready.
What's your battery for today?
Lawrence Anderson, pitching. Babe Cox, catching.
Lawrence Anderson, pitching. Babe Cox, catching. Right. Well, good luck, girls.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, girls. Here we go.
For the home team, McClure, pitching. Smith, catching. For the visitor, Miss Lawrence Anderson, pitching. Miss Paige Cox, catching. Come on, Kenny, smash it right out of the park. Come on, let it go.
And so the game got underway. The home boys played true to their bargain, and at the end of the eighth inning, the score stood 6-5 in favor of 9 striking beauties. The crowd was wild with excitement and began laying bets right and left on the girls to win. But when the ninth inning began, their promise being fulfilled, the boys settled down to play serious baseball. They knew the town sports were placing their money on the girls' team to win, so they covered every bet to the last cent of their combined resources. In the first half of the ninth, the big pitcher cut loose for the first time, and despite boos and catcalls from the grandstand, struck out the girls in order 1-2-3. Now for the last half. The home boys are at bat raring to go. Millie is still waiting the opportunity to put the handsome captain of their opponents on the spot. And lest you forget, this is a spot where Flo stops lobbing up straight balls and begins to strut her stuff. Let's see what happens.
How'd you like that, big boy?
And where'd you get the coin?
What's this one, Bozo? Look at it. Well, hello, Shorty. What do you think you're going to do?
Plenty, but they're plenty.
Hey, well, here goes your ball game, Gorgeous.
Well, if it ain't the handsome
cat. See, I understand old Flats out there suddenly developed a curve.
You'd be surprised.
Well, come on, let's get it over. Hello, beautiful. How's every little thing out here at first base?
Hello, handsome. What do you got on for tonight?
Hey, listen, kid. Don't you try to play me for a sucker.
Oh, so it's like that, eh? Hey, Flo, wait up a minute.
What's the matter, Mill? Did he get fresh?
Yes, I know.
What you mean?
Listen, Flo, we've got him right where we want him.
What you mean, with him on first and Shorty on third and only one out?
I know, but listen, you remember the signal?
Remember it. I thought it up.
Okay, keep your ears in back, or come on, Van Tippy.
I'll back you up like a Marie.
Okay, let's go.
Well, Gorgeous, you have a nice turn?
You'd be surprised. Say, handsome, you sure can play ball.
You just finding that out? Why do you suppose they elected me captain?
Because you're such a good looking.
Well, maybe that did have something to do with it.
Why don't you take a lead off first, handsome?
Why should I? I'm in no hurry. There's only one down, and your little pal out there is going to walk.
See? What'd I tell you?
Gee, you're smart as well as good looking.
There it goes.
So long, gorgeous.
Well, if it isn't the boyfriend, back at first and all tired out. Doesn't the handsome captain know he must have run on foul balls, especially when they're caught? That's too out, kid.
I know. Pretty lucky. The tie-in runs on third, and here comes Beto up now. He's good for a hit any time. Now watch me steal second and come in on his hit now.
Hey, look out, you're fighting.
Where? I did not.
What?
Say, listen, sister. I told you, don't play me for a sucker.
Hey, Flo, take your time. What's the time? We got all afternoon. Say, listen, handsome. I give up. You win. Get going. The little redhead at second thinks you're God's gift of winning. Why, she wouldn't tag you if you walked in.
Yeah? Hey, she ain't so bad as that. I'm here. What's her name?
Sally. Just bad enough.
Well, I think I'll look her over when I get out there.
Come on, Zernkity.
Out!
You're out, handsome, and out of luck.
Well, oh, gee.
And that's the game. Come on, come on.
I guess it's in here. I think
it's in here. Hey, come on, get away from that door. The girls are dressing in there. You can't go in.
Are you the manager?
Yeah.
May we go into the dressing room and congratulate the dear girls on their victory? We have some bouquets for them.
Hmm? Well, sure. I guess you ladies can go in, all right.
Oh, thank you. Come this way, girls.
Well, Hawkins, you got a great team.
Well, they're not so bad at that. I never expected them to win the full game. All I wanted was to give the customers something novel.
Well, do you have much trouble handling them?
No, I have more trouble with their admirers. All the boys want to marry them.
You don't say.
Well, what's the difference?
Say, it sounds as though your girls were celebrating a little early.
Say, that's no celebration. I want to...
What?
Say, come on with me, quick. Before they break up the dressing room.
Come on. Come on. Oh,
get out.
Here. Here, what's going on? What's going on here? Here. Stop this. Stop this, I say. Here, umpire. Here. Get some of these days, will you? Now separate him.
Come on, please.
Say, who were these things? Do you know them, Flo?
Oh, they were the wives of the local team.
What?
And I thought there was a woman's club. They said they wanted to present some bouquets.
Yeah, from the looks of the girls, I'd say they had. But they didn't say it with flowers.
Oh, what a scrap. What a scrap. Say, what do you got there, Millie?
A trophy of the battle.
Yeah? Well, to the victor belongs the spoil.
That's right.
Well, I guess we can't do any more good around here. Come on out. I know where we can get some good beer.
Yeah, I'm with you, Hawkins. Hello?
What do you want? Come here.
What for?
I want to show you what I've got here.
I'm busy looking at this eye of mine.
But I want your opinion on something.
Oh, what is it?
Well, for Pete's sake. Flo, do you think this hat looks as well on me as it did on that blonde dame?
Read this interesting and amusing story about America's first woman's professional baseball team as told by its manager in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, a magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Thank you. introducing another in the series of dramatizations based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Today's radio drama was inspired by a new and thrilling serial, the first installment of which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly magazine. From the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company, the American Theater of Radio presents a dramatized narrative entitled My Life of Crime.
I am 30 years old. I am known to the police of the whole world as a confirmed habitual criminal. From my earliest recollection as a child, if I coveted a thing, I stole it without the least compunction. But it was while at school that I became a real crook, for I forged my housemaster's signature at clothiers and booksellers. I even organized some of my schoolfellows and formed a gang. We would enter a shop. I would walk up to the owner.
Well, what can I do for you, young man?
I'd like to see that box of paints you have in the window there.
Certainly, I'll get it for you. Is this the one?
Yes. How much is it?
2 and 6.
I say, that's a bit steep.
Oh, these are imported paints, young man.
Well, haven't you something cheaper in there?
Of course, but this is the set you asked for.
I know it is, but I can't afford to pay 2 and 6.
Very well. I think I have something to suit you.